Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you. Tuesday, December the 8th, 2020, 18 minutes past the hour, and we have got what they call an exclusive in the news business here on WWGH Radio. Now, as many of you know, we live in the town that the town of Warren G. Harding. And this was a big year of for President Warren G. Harding, as it was the 100th anniversary of his election in 1920 as President of the United States. Now, as many of you also know, recently, President Harding's grandson, Jim Blessing, had brought a motion to have the body of President Warren G. Harding exhumed for DNA testing to prove that he is the grandson of President Warren G. Harding for family members who have been denying this, members of the Harding family, who have been denying this or at least not accepting it in recent years since this all became apparent back in 2015 through a DNA test that was done on Ancestry. Now, for all of you who don't know, a verdict has been rendered in that trial. Now, here's what, this is from the New York Times. The New York Times wrote about this on December 1st. So here is what was said, and you need to know, before I read this paragraph, that members of the Harding family wrote letters to the court explaining why they did not want the body exhumed. So, based on that, here was the decision from the New York Times, December the 1st. Judge Robert D. Fregali of Marion County Family Court in Ohio cited those letters as evidence of the family's acceptance of Mr. Blessing as the grandson of Warren G. Harding and thereby their relative. This removed the need to exhume the former president, he wrote in an order dated November the 3rd. Judge Fregali cited comments from an Ancestry executive in a 2015 New York Times article in which the executive said of genetic testing, the technology that we're using is at a level of specificity that there's no need to do more DNA testing. This is the definitive answer. In light of the family's admittedly cool acceptance of Mr. Blessing as their relative, disinterment would serve no legitimate purpose, Judge Fregali wrote, adding that the process lacked the support of any surviving Harding family member save Mr. Blessing. So that is the ruling by Judge Fregali here in Marion. Now, that was in the New York Times on November the 1st. The decision came on November the 3rd, but Jim, who brought this case, has not spoken to anybody, including the New York Times, until now. I believe this was the first show that he did back in 2015 when we found out he was the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. He was on back in July when this story first came to light in the media. And just as a friend of this program, he has agreed to come on here and talk about this live before he goes anywhere else, and we are so glad he is. So for the first time on this subject, since the decision was rendered and the New York Times article was written, we welcome to these microphones in the city of Warren G. Harding, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Jim, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
Doing great. Well, let's just start off the top here, Jim. You heard what Judge Fregali said.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. So what's your take on that?
Well, just from listening to you, he makes the point that from the DNA, talking to the executive from DNA or his statement, that it was proven that I was the grandson. So then I ask everybody, for 5 years, They never included me. They've known for 5 years. It was proven 5 years ago. They've put together everything. They've put together the 2020 Harding celebration. They've done the museum. They're doing the house. They've done all this, and we're not a part of any of it. And I, you know, and it doesn't come down to me, my brothers, or our grandkids. It comes down to my mom, and nothing. 5 years, nothing. So obviously, it isn't what he says it is, which he knew anyway. We all know that. But it's just the Hardings all step up because it's been. People need to understand. It has been 100 years that they have denied my mother. 100 years they have done this. And now they've been doing it to us. They're doing it now to his grandkids, his great grandkids, everything. They're doing it to all of us. For 100 years, this has gone on. And through the process of all this, I've kind of come to the conclusion that my mother is the kryptonite. People may not understand that, but she's the kryptonite to the Hardings, because if she was around and part of this, they would be losing all their power. And that's where the problem comes in right there.
There's something else from this article I want to bring up, because I think this is important to know. Now, a lot of the Harding members, as you have said, do not support this, but Dr. Peter Harding, who's out in California, had supported you. He'd gotten together with you at a family reunion. Now, he is the one who is quoted in this New York Times article from a week ago today, December 1st, and I just want to read this so I don't misquote him. This is what, when I refer to Dr. Harding, it's Dr. Peter Harding. Dr. Harding had been supportive of Mr. Blessing's mission. He initiated contact with Mr. Blessing, and the two had been friendly since a family gathering a few years ago, but became defensive when the production company became involved, a production company called Magilla Entertainment. This is what Dr. Harding said. Dr. Harding said Mr. Blessing had stopped returning his calls after he wrote to the court protesting the exhumation. There is a conspiracy theory, Dr. Harding said, that President Harding was poisoned by his wife. He was concerned that seeking to prove or disprove that theory on television was the motive for the exhumation. Another conspiracy, he said, was that President Harding had black ancestry. The DNA testing found no ancestors from sub-Saharan Africa. So, Peter, who had been your friend up until this point and supporting you, according to this article, seems to feel that he turned on this because he felt that a production, Magilla Entertainment, production company, was involved and that they were out to prove that the president had been murdered, I guess, is what he's saying.
Right. Okay, so first off, Peter is the one that introduced me to them. Peter and I have been close since we did the DNA test, since we got together. I've gone down a few times a year and stayed down there, visited with him. We did a union down there, the very beginning. We called it a union. And you need to understand, well, first off, Peter has completely betrayed me. This is just mine. I guess it's not. He's a Harding. I guess I should have just expected it. But he has been behind this and pushing this forever. And he pushed me into this. He's the one that had them come and visit me and told me all about, because they approached him first. And he's been a part of this from day one. He's wanted to do this. And the fact that I didn't return his call, he never called me. I never heard from him. He was a part of this and wanted to do it. And I can tell you, just so you know, he was planning this and talking about them coming in and building something at his house so we could film there and have them pay for this and have them pay for that and have them pay for this. And that's not me. I kept telling him, we're not going to ask for this. He wanted all this stuff to be done and them to take care of this and them to take care of that. That's just not me. My whole thing from the beginning of this is for my mom. That's what it's been since day one. He knew that. And that's what it's always been. And it's what we've talked about forever. We would talk on the phone for an hour and a half about things and about doing this and doing that, and he wanted movies, he wanted this, he wanted that, and all this stuff, and that's fine. I appreciate that, but that's not me. I don't need to participate in that. And it's funny because in the papers to the court, the Hardings, the headmaster there, whatever you want to call him, he wrote that Jim Blessing is just looking for attention. And not days before that came out, I had talked to Peter and told him, we're dodging the bullet here. No one knows about this. We're squeezing right by. It's not going to be a big deal in the news. We won't have to go through all the calls and all the stuff. And I was happy about it, and I told him that. And he said, yeah, it looks like it's going that way because of COVID. You know, everybody, and right now everybody's hiding behind COVID. That's one of the reasons for the court case and what happened there. But I had just told him that, and he's writing in telling me I'm looking for attention. Nobody's looking for more attention than that guy is. This is what this is all about to him. So the whole thing is bizarre. But Peter Harding, I'm lost. I like I say, I shouldn't be, but I am, because we were very close, and his wife, myself, and Peter spent time talking about this all the time. I went down there, we'd sit down and talk about it, and you know, he would tell me, you know, how much he regretted what his family did to me, and he used to tell me all the time, he'd apologize to me for what they had, and it, all the stuff that the Hardings had received because of their name should have been going to my mother. It's something she should have enjoyed, something she should have been a part of, and she got nothing. And this is the same thing I got when we did the union. They all came. They were all great. Everyone that I met at that union party was wonderful. We got together for 3-4 days, and it was great. They were all into everything. And then all of a sudden, when they wanted to do this, and this was my way to tell the story. I want the story told. I want people to know about this story and everything about this story, all of it. And in reality, who wouldn't want to know? I'm just shocked that the Hardings don't want to know, that the historical society wouldn't want to know whether he was murdered or not. I mean, why would you not want to know if something happened to a president? He's one of the only president we know that we don't know what happened to him.
Jim, I want to come to that point. I want to spend a section on that because I think that's important. But I want to go back to Peter for just one second. You had been friends. You had gotten together. When he says to the New York Times last Tuesday, or whenever he wrote this email last Monday night, when he says he tried to call you, you wouldn't return the calls, you say that's not true. When he says he didn't think this was necessary because he thought it was, when the entertainment company, Magilla Entertainment, became involved, that wasn't good for him. You say that's not true. So what turned him, in your opinion? Why did he become a dissenter if he was the one who was originally encouraging you, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's someone he's made friends with. And he's a Harding writer. And I think that this is what brought this on, because I'm going to tell you honestly, and I kind of deal in that. This is all fabricated. We were very close. I mean, we did this, and in the beginning, he knew where they wanted to go with this, but it was kind of a trade-off, and he wanted the story out supposedly, and this is what he cared about. And I'll be honest, in the beginning, we talked about that. We talked about whether he was poisoned or not, and he said he wasn't sure and he didn't know and he didn't kind of think so. And I told him that I think there's something to that should be researched. I think we should find out. We owe it to the country to know that. He was a president of the United States, and if this happened, it changes everything. Not to mention, on my end of it, someone took him away from his daughter. You know, they took this away from my daughter of having a life with her father. It's just, you know, it's something that needs to be known. It's a big part of history, big part of it. Especially if something like that happens. I mean, and as me as the grandson, it's like, you know, if you had your grandparents in a rest home, and they were in another state, and something happened to them, or your parents, and something happened to one of them, and you went there, and they kind of looked a little different, and it was weird, and they wouldn't let you see him, and they already embalmed him, and they did all this stuff, so you couldn't find out anything. You'd want to know what happened. I mean, it's just normal. But, you know, but that's a side note to what we really want to do is get the story out. And he, I never refused his calls. He may have called me once or something, maybe, and I was busy and then forgot about it or something because, I do have a job and whatever. But I never responded to him. He never reached out to me. He wrote me a letter. I remember he did write me a letter and said that he didn't agree with this, and all of a sudden he's changed his mind and blah, blah. Well, why all of a sudden? I don't understand. He was behind this more than me.
Well, and
he was.
Well, this is because this comes to the point that I think is being made here. Because also in this article, there is a lawyer, Natalie A. Harris.
She's great. My attorney.
Now, Natalie Harris is quoted in this article. It says, Ms. Harris said in an email to the New York Times in September that Mr. Blessing's story would be the focus of any film produced, but that, should the body be exhumed, Magilla Entertainment might consider toxicology testing to seek additional information about the president's health and sudden death. So, is this where this was going, to see what happened to the man?
Right. Well, my main thing with this is, like I said, 2015, we proved supposedly that I was the grandson. And in 5 years, nothing, zero, zip. And I was just fed. I'm fed up with it. It's just ridiculous. This is horrible to do this to my mother. And what they did to my grandmother and my mom for 100 years is just insane. And I thought, how can I have not? People used to say to me, "Oh, so what's going on with the thing?" And this, and I'd have to tell people, "I don't know. I'm not involved. We're not involved." People just can't believe this. And I thought to myself a long time ago, the only way to do this is to have direct. See, there supposedly is some blood. The Hardings have blood from Warren G. And supposedly George Harding has it or something. And that was what Peter pushed on all the time. We should try to get that, try to force him to bring his hand out on that and get that blood from him. See, I know everything about the Hardings now. Peter told me everything about all of them. And I know everything that went on in the family and everything. And so I kind of know all the little secrets. And there's blood been sitting around for a while. I guess they bought it somewhere or something. And Peter kept saying, we need to get to that blood because that would give you direct contact. Well, that back then, when we first started this, that kind of clicked with me, and I realized that if we could get it directly with him. So that's where this started. I wanted to get direct contact with him so no one, because some of the Hardings go around and tell people, don't believe this DNA, hook, line, and sinker. You know, they deny it to other people. But then when it comes down to this, and the only reason that this is anything, I've gotten anything from anybody about this on that side, is because I brought this suit against doing this. This is the whole reason it happened. Otherwise, nothing would still be going on. I would not hear anything.
Now, that being said, now that they have, and it's been in the New York Times now, I'm quoting this article from December the 1st, that they do acknowledge that you're the grandson. I think Wikipedia now acknowledges that you are the grandson and your mother was the daughter.
Right.
What is wanted?
Now that happened, excuse me, but let me tell you, that happened because of Abby, who I did the DNA test with. She went on and spent the time to get everything switched over.
Okay. So now that has been done, what do you want to see happen? Now that this has been acknowledged in the media by the Harding family in letters through the judge, and that's why he feels the body did not need to be exhumed, what at this point would you like to see happen?
I want to see my mother in the house, and I want to see a complete thing. There should be, I would love to, I have a dream for this, and my dream is to see some sort of a couple figures of the president and my mom in the yard somewhere or something. Her maybe planting a plant or doing something. I don't know how to bring it out. Something brass or something bronze or whatever, and do something like that in the yard and show them together. It's his daughter. Anyone that any man that's has a daughter understands what I'm talking about. This is so important. This is his daughter. she should be a whole part of his life. And I'm sure he was proud of this, and this is what he wanted was kids. So I don't understand why the fight. I understand the fight. I understand what they're doing. They wanted, Peter had told me he told me constantly that they just want me to go away. They want this to just go away. They don't want me to be there. They don't want any part of this. They don't want anyone to step on their fame. And this is their whole thing. Their whole thing is going out and being a part of it. He had also told me that they would never correct someone. They wanted people to think that they were the grandsons. That's what he was telling me. And if someone would think that, they would never, you know, clarify it. They just let it go as it was because this is what they liked. So and so be it. I don't care. That means nothing to me. What matters to me is my mom and her recognition. That's the whole thing. And I'd like to see a room in there that would be made up kind of like her bedroom. And when we could put some stuff in there, and my mom was very smart. I have her schoolwork. I have my grandmother, when she published the book, did a book at the same time of all of my mother's poems. And I would love to see that on display or something like that. And put things in her room to make it look like she's his daughter. And that was her place, and that's where she should be for history. And that's what I want. I want that. I want to have the recognition for her, and this is what he would want. I'm just amazed that these people have done everything for themselves and nothing for him. And this is what he would want. They've done nothing to recognize his life. They talk about how they care and they want to preserve his legacy. They're destroying his legacy. They're the worst enemy of his legacy. And this is the thing. His legacy is beyond anything else. It's his daughter.
Now, at this point, Jim, if the people at the Harding home and the new Harding Museum here in Marion, if they said, we want you involved in this because you are the grandson and everybody's admitted it now, you know, what thoughts do you have in regard to your mother and grandmother? We want to include them in this. Would that suffice at this point? Would that be okay? That's good.
Yeah. The only problem I have with this is that this is only happening. They actually did write a letter within the court letter. It's kind of weird, but they wrote it and said, we would, you know, if you want to talk, here's the number and we'd like to talk to you. We were planning a little spot for your mom. A little spot? Come on. It's just like, I don't get it. And this would have never happened. This is what irks me, is this would never have happened had I not brought this case out. If I had never done this, I would never hear a word about anything from anyone. And I'm shocked because the Historical Society, and I've heard from a bunch of people that they're nice people, and I heard from Blaine, who was the other attorney, and he's in Marion, great guy, and he did a great job. Both of them, both attorneys were just wonderful. They popped up with stuff that just really impressed me. But he had even told me that the Historical Society would be involved in this and would be up for this, and we're kind of, you know, they thought it was time. But nothing. And then I get a little letter saying that I could call this number, and, you know, I'm just kind of still reeling over this, so I haven't really done anything about it yet. But I was planning on contacting them. But that would be fine, except I'm always going to go back to this as long as I can, and my kids will forever too, is how did he die? I've got that question in my head, and there should be, somebody should figure out something. Somehow we should figure out how it happened.
So that being said, a part of this is about the toxicology to see if the president was murdered.
Right. Well, it is in my mind. It's always been there. It's when I started really researching this and getting involved in this and learning more about him, and I've read so many articles and everything else, and I mean, you'd have to be somewhat off a little bit to not read about what happened and how she handled it, and not think to yourself, this is the ultimate murder mystery. I mean, it's got every part you need involved in it. I mean, she embalmed him right away. She went straight out and burned all the papers, got rid of everything. And I will tell you also, one of the things that really clicks with me, and Peter was a big part of this also. We went out, my attorneys went out, and they got his will. And through his will, as you're looking at his will, he's giving money away to the brother and sisters and all that stuff. And what happened was in this is that when he left on that trip, he had promised my grandmother that he was going to have his attorney come on the train, and he would meet his attorney, and they were going to put her into the will so that she was taken care of. And he had promised her that. And I know that when he made a promise, it's a promise. And so he had promised her that he would have him come on the train. Well, he did come on the train, and he was there for a few days. And he promised that he would give my grandmother $50,000 to raise his daughter if anything happened to him. Because if he was alive, he'd still be involved. So, and maybe more than people think. So, and he had mentioned that he was going to confront his wife and, you know, the usual stuff. So when you start to look at this, you realize, wow, this is really weird, you know, $50,000, and he was going to do this, and that he did come on the train, so we're thinking there. So maybe there's this possibility that the lawyer came on the train, the will was changed, and maybe he talked to his wife about this, and something that just kind of set something off. So now we're way 100 years in the, later, and we're looking. I'm looking at the will, and all of a sudden I call Peter, because I would call Peter, and he'd want to know about everything. He always wanted to be involved in everything. So I would call and tell him and read him stuff, and I read him stuff all the time. When I read a story, I'd call and read it to him. So I'm getting the will, and I called him up, and I said, "You got to hear this." And so we start going down the will, and it's, you know, money, 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 down, down, down. And then it goes to towards the bottom, and all of a sudden it says that he's going to give his father, and I ask, you know, people, your father that's older than you, I don't understand that. But all of a sudden I'm reading it to Peter, and I said, and it says that $50,000 to be given to his father. But here's the kicker. It's not to be given to his father now. It's to be given to him in monthly installments. So right away, Peter gets quiet on the phone, doesn't say anything. And then all of a sudden he goes, "My God, that is really odd, because that's the amount he promised to your grandmother." And there it was. And so we start talking about it, and I'm telling him, well, think about this. If you were in a situation, a divorce situation, or what he was in, or situation, you would not fund that money directly. You would turn that into a monthly installment so that you knew it wouldn't be piddled away and not be there for the future of your daughter. Am I wrong?
Well, it certainly is an interesting thought, because I think most people would say that if you were, you would probably not put your parents in your will, most likely.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, well,
and that's the same thing. And that's, so then I'm reading this, and right away I'm thinking, one more time I'm thinking, we need to know what happened to him. That's what gets me going, is reading stuff, and then I'm looking and analyzing. She goes and burns all the papers, trying to get rid of any proof of my mother. And anything that he wrote saying he would put her in the will, that he would help her out, anything, she eliminates it. And it wasn't about his legacy, I know that. And it was about what she was trying to find and hide. And so that's where it is for me. I keep coming back to that. And I ask people, if this was your grandfather, wouldn't you want to know?
Well, Jim,
I mean, go ahead.
Let me ask you about this. Obviously, your grandmother lived into her 90s. Now, did she ever say anything to you about
all the time?
Well, about what President Harding thought of his wife, Florence Harding? Because that's who we're talking about here when we say she. What did she say about Florence?
Well, I'll tell you, she told me, from the time I found out about this, through constantly, I was very close with my grandmother. We had a great relationship. I'd spend time with her. I actually used to, I tell this story about her and the truth. She never lied. And I used to, my high school was next door to my grandmother's apartment. And I would cut school and go there all the time. And I'd stay with her for the day and just kind of hang out. And she'd be sitting there typing away, trying to write another book. And it was really great. But, she talked to us about him all the time. But I'll tell you, I grew up with her talking about her poisoning him. And she used to tell us all the time, how he was afraid of her. He worried about that, and that was his concern, is what she would do if she found something like that out, and he was worried about what she would do to him. And that's what I've grown up with, so that's why it's in the back of my head.
Now, in this article in the New York Times, Jim, so we can get this cleared up as well, your attorney, Natalie A. Harris, through an email, now she does say in the New York Times that Mr. Blessing would not appeal the decision that was made by the judge. Now, is that accurate?
No, I don't think so. If I can figure out how to do it, I'm on. I'm my grandmother on steroids. I'm worse than she was. She sued them, tried to get the money, get the help, and they fought her on that. And that brings up another. What kind of people do not take care of their brother or sister's child when they're not there to do it? It's just as mind-boggling to me that these Hardings have never stepped up. All they did was fight this the whole way and never tried to help. And he's up there thinking, come on, you guys. But then that's kind of my grandmother told me all kinds of stuff. It's just interesting. If I can figure it out and figure to fund it, I'm there.
So at this point, just to make sure this is clear for everybody, the point here at this point is to see a toxicology report done to see if Florence Harding, or anybody else for that matter, had anything to do with the death of Warren G. Harding.
Right. It's not my main concern, but it's there. I have that concern. My biggest concern is that my mother gets what she deserves, and it's too late for her to benefit from any of those things like they all did. The Hardings have lived off of that name, and it's not the George Harding name or anything else. It's the Warren G. Harding name, and they've denied me. The judge denied me this, and I think what we've seen in 4 years is judges overstepping their bounds everywhere. And that's what in my opinion, this is what he did. He overstepped his bounds. I was expecting, as probably you were and other people were, that I would be able to have my day in court and go up and plead my case and explain my story and maybe do it. But I'm sure he didn't want me to do that, because if I did, it'd be pretty hard to deny me. So they cut this close. Like I said, people are hiding behind the COVID. He did not give me an opportunity to do this, and he made a decision without even really talking to me. And I should have been able to plead my case somehow.
So you never spoke with Judge Fregali?
Never. He never called me. And I see, and you know what? I'll tell you, I talk about the overstepping. In my opinion, I think that the judge's job is to make sure that this is done, that we do this and we do it all. It's all on the up and up. We do it with a class. We do it so that it doesn't affect anyone. It doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't bother the site. We do it so that it's done with the utmost care, and that's his job. It's not his job to tell me that that's my grandfather, and I can't do that. And then he writes this thing, and he says, well, it's proven now, and everyone accepts it, the fact that he is the grandson. Well, there you go. You just contradicted yourself. You just said, I am the proven grandson, so this is something I want to do for myself and my family. Why can't I do that? This is the door opener. If I have done this and done it, if I had matched my DNA with Harding direct, how would they possibly ever deny me and deny what I want? But the reason they're denying me now is because in the back of their mind, they're saying, somebody in the Harding said, don't worry about it. Don't take it hook, line, and sinker. And no one's stepping up to do anything. They're still fighting what we want and to get my mother's name in there. I don't understand it. And they're nothing. The Hardings that are fighting this are nothing. They're far, far away from Warren G. Harding. And we're his family. We're known as the Harding family. We are the Warren G. Harding family. This is my grandkids, my great-grandkids, his great and great-great-grandkids, everything. We are his family. Separate from the Hardings, this is his real family. And this is his blood and everything. It's just, how can you come and write me a little letter and say that I can't do that? I just don't understand that. I'm just lost on the whole thing.
Jim, we've known each other for a long time now, so I'm going to ask this because, this interview is about telling the truth and getting the true emotion out. Now, when people read things for the last, well, since we spoke in July, it came to light that this Magilla Entertainment Group was involved and that they were going to be there when the body was exhumed and that a toxicology report might have been done, according to them and your attorney. And so people get the impression that there's money involved here, that there's
money. No money.
No money.
No money. I mean, well, when I do the show, they would pay me for my time to do the show, you know, because I'd have to take up a work and do stuff like that. And, I mean, it's not like I'm not going to be rich. I'm not going to be out buying a yacht or anything. It's not that. It's just they're going to compensate me for my time to make the show. And that's it. That's what we agreed upon and whatever. I haven't received a dime from them. Nothing.
So, I don't want to get into, you know, dollars and cents here, but just so we make this clear for everybody, was it a substantial offer?
We hadn't even discussed it yet. Okay. We had not even discussed it. So, and that should tell you something right there. I went into this with not knowing anything like that. So, you might think I'm crazy, but I didn't, because this isn't what it was really about. It's not about the money. Is nice, but it's not going to be anything, you know, worthwhile. I'm getting paid, like I told them, I can't afford to take a month off of work while we make a show, or 2 months or three, whatever it takes. You know, it was going to be a documentary, and you know, I was going to be traveling and doing things. We were making the trip to Ohio, and they would pay for that, of course, and get me there and whatever, but that's just a part of doing this, you know. So it was gonna unfold the whole story and talk about, you know, what we'd been through and what my mother and grandmother were through, and tell the whole story of how it all came about. So that's it. But no money. I haven't received a dime. Nothing.
Now, all that being said, and knowing what the ruling has been at this point, this is still the 100th year anniversary of President Harding being elected. He was elected on November 2nd, 1920. Here we are in 2020, a year and a month, or 100 years and 1 month since his election night. Where do you go from here? What is the plan at this point?
I don't know. I'm still kicking it around. I'm still trying to decide what to do. I would love to. What I really want to do is tell the story of my grandmother. That's the most important thing to me. I want people to know this. It's a wonderful story, and there's so much more to it than people know. This goes way beyond this. I had mentioned to you before, I sent you a picture of myself and a woman, and I told you that picture that I sent you is such a big part of this story. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to me, and I lived it. And I did not understand it until after it was over, and all of a sudden it clicked with me. And people tell you, I'll just tell you, people, you go through life, and people, you always hear this phrase that people come into your life for a reason. And I want everyone to know, I would love to write a book. I don't know how to go about it or whatever, but I would love to tell my story, and because everyone needs to hear it, because everyone in their own life has this happening and they're not even recognizing it. But something I've lived was just unbelievable. I mean, I'll have to tell you about it one time, but it's just, and this is what got me where I am today. This is what got me here. This is what got me to realize and understand. I know Harding better than anyone would ever know him. I know everything about him, his feelings, everything. I know exactly what he went through. I know what his life with my grandmother was like. And it's just, it's an unbelievable story. And I would love to tell that tied together with the story of my mother and my grandmother, because the story of my mother and my grandmother is an amazing story. And the story of my grandmother and what kind of woman she was and what she accomplished and did and what a strong woman she was back then. It's an amazing story that people need to know, and it would give people hope and show them what's possible in life. And that's what I want to do. That's my big thing. And the thing about the poisoning, it's important to me, but not to that point. But I would like to know. I mean, everyone would like to know. Wouldn't you like to know if it was you? I mean, It's just that, you know, I think that everyone would want to know what happened to one of their relatives.
Jim, when you talk about, and I understand you spoke about that in very vague terms, but when you talk about this woman who came into your life, can you give mm-hmm. us, who do we know who the woman was or what the connection was to the Harding story?
Yeah, she was the door opener to all of this. I don't know how far I want to go with this, but the story is so incredible that it needs to be told. And that's one of the things, because of her and my life with her, and now you're going to figure it out because you've seen the picture, but that's what got me where I am today and made me do what I did and pushed me the most on this, because I understand everything that went on with them, everything. I've lived that life. So I understand it, and that's why I look at it differently. So it's just something. You know, you things happen in your life, and you don't understand them, and sometimes you do, and all of a sudden I did. And so anyway, it's a big part of the story, and I would love to tell it. So
now, was this just an encouraging person to have you go?
No.
Over?
No. No, it wasn't.
No. Okay.
Okay, you're
figuring
it out.
I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there with it.
Yeah.
Is there any reason at this point, Jim, that you're not mentioning that part of the story?
Yeah, I would really like to write a book about that, and I want to not ruin it, because I think people need to get it in pieces and to understand it, because it's something that I'm sure happens to everyone, and people just, it comes and goes, and no one notices it. And I just think it's something.
Now, Jim, you said earlier on in the interview that during your conversations with Peter Harding that you learned a lot of things about the Harding family. Now, not to be provocative here, but what don't we know about the Harding family who's trying to protest this?
In my opinion, they're just not who they portray they are. They're just, you know what? You really don't have to say anything about them, really, to see who they are. Just look at what they have done to my grandmother and my mother for 100 years. That's all you need to know. What type of people treat people like that? What kind of person would treat my mother the way they treated my mother? Knowing, and that's the other thing I'll tell you, they knew. When we had that union party, most of the people came up to me and said, we always knew, the family always knew she was his daughter, but we were not allowed to say anything or talk about it. I got that from the majority of them. So that answered a bunch of my questions right there. You know what? I'll tell you what, it's quick if I've got the time. I in the beginning of this, way before Peter, I was trying to figure out how to connect with someone and do this. And what I would do is I was talking to people. What I did was I would read articles, and they would be people that wrote about Harding and knew about Harding and you know, historians and whatever. And I met a guy, Jacob Appel, on there. He wrote an article one time, and he said, and he was kind of brutal about it, and he said, you know, the Blessings need to step up. The Blessings need to answer the question. The Blessings need to do a test and find out the truth about whether the story is true. And it really falls on the Blessing family. It was kind of like not a threat, but a challenge, you know. And so I read that, and I didn't pay much attention to it, excuse me. And then, I don't know, 6 months later or so, I started thinking it kept eating at me. And finally, I thought, you know what, why not? So I wrote him, and I said, I said, tell me what time, where to be, and I'll do it. I will do any test you want me to do. You put it together, you tell me where to be, and we can get this done. And we became friends. He wrote me, and he kept looking around and trying and trying, and he finally came up with somebody. We did an original test before Peter and I, and it was with a big company that did tests for the United States government, I guess. And they did the test, and they came up at 86% or something, and they wouldn't go public with it because they said 86 wasn't enough, but they did tell us, or tell me, that it was close enough to say you probably, the chances are really good you are the grandson, but they wouldn't go public with it. So then time passed, but I had looked at pictures of the Hardings, that were the remaining Hardings, and and I looked at who I thought I could talk to, and all of them I looked at, I thought there's no way I could communicate with these people. And they went, and everyone told me, when I would talk to people about this, who done, they all said they don't want to talk to you. They want nothing to do with you. They won't talk about this. They won't help. They won't do anything. And then I ran across Peter, and Peter had actually tried to find me, and I'd been trying to find him, but I had no idea that a guy like Peter existed, you know, because he's more laid back and whatever.
Jim, as we sit here, there are two questions I want to get in here before we run out of time. Now, this is the 100th anniversary of your grandfather being elected president of the United States. We couldn't talk at that time because the court case was impending. But what does this year mean to you? What does this time period mean to you in regard to Warren Harding?
I mean, I think it's great. You know what? The best part of this anniversary is that now everything's starting to come out about him. People are starting to realize who he was and what he was trying to accomplish and some of the great things he did. I think it's great. I think it's time to understand this. And it's taken a long time, but, you know, he's gotten such a bad rap that he didn't deserve. And it's like my grandmother always told me, he was a great man. He wanted to help people, and that's what he cared about. And he cared about doing the job right, and he wanted to do things for people. You know, everybody, he was progressive for the time. He was way ahead of his time. He was so trying to help people. He tried to open the door for the blacks back then. He tried to put programs together for them to bring them into the country, to open the doors for them and everything, and it was all squashed. So it's time. It's time for him to come out and people to find out who he is. And I'll tell you that, and I don't mean to be vindictive or anything, but there's something I live with that bothers me all the time. And I hear it on the Hannity show when his show starts. He plays a montage, and he plays the John Kennedy thing of don't ask what you can do for your country. You know, the one that we've cheered for all these years?
Right.
Do you know where that came from?
No.
Warren G. Harding.
What? And on that point...
And there's a word for that, isn't there?
You have to talk to the Kennedys about that. when we come to this, the conclusion here, Jim, after all this, the DNA test back in 2015, how you feel the Hardings have treated you, the relationship with Peter, which has went, I guess, a little sour at this point, the...
Yeah, and that does bother me. It's really, really... really depressing to me. And you know, his wife was so involved in this, and I think about her, you know, she'd passed when this was going on, and she was so involved in this, and I wonder how she would take this from him. I think about that all the time. I wonder what she would think about him doing that.
And well, yeah, and with that, and with the exhumation case that is exhuming the body, and then the ruling by Judge Fregali here in Marion, all that being where it is, what is Jim Blessing's next step? Where do you go from here?
I'm just going to keep moving along. I'm keeping going forward, straight forward. I'm going to try to figure it. Like I said, if I can get together some funding and whatever, I'm game for pursuing this all the way. But my main goal is to have direct contact with him. That's the whole thing. I want to prove this through him, because then there's no ifs or buts or anything. I see in my eyes, and I might be stupid or something, but I think that if I have it directly with him, there's no way they can deny me. It gives me more of a controlling power, I think, that I can get things done the way they should be done.
So if you could come up with the funding, you would appeal the exhumation and try to continue to have the body exhumed. Is that right?
Oh, sure. I want that. I would love to have that. I mean, what better? You know, I mean, everybody can always say, well, you know, it was kind of like somebody saying, and I'm not mentioning anything, but I hear through the grapevine that, you know, hey, it could have been his brother. You know, I mean, come on. So I'm just tired of all of this. It needs to come to an end. Give up the reins. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's so disappointing to me, and it makes you look at, when you go through something like this, you look at what other people are going through, and you never paid much attention to it with somebody else going through something like this, but when it's you, you realize, holy Christ, this is awful. And it really is. It's, I don't know any other way to say it. It's horrible what they did to my mother and my grandmother. Horrible.
Well, Jim, I cannot thank you enough for coming here first. I've appreciated all your kindnesses to me over the years. I know it will continue, and anytime there is...
I appreciate you. I really do. I enjoy this immensely.
Well, anytime there is an update to give or anything, give me a call. And like I say, I appreciate it quite a bit that you held off on talking with the Times and other news sources to come here first. And that means a lot to me, and I thank you for that.
All righty. I thank you for everything.
Thank you,
and
Jim.
And thank your viewers, and I hope they understand. I hope they really understand the story and what it's been like.
You stay well, Jim. Thank you.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. And now, that's the rest of the story. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Down campus. The address is 233 West Church Street. A private funeral will be held for family only on December 9th. An online condolence.